All right, we appreciate that, Brother Bowen. I'm thankful that God leads us along. Amen. Especially during a time like this. I heard a preacher preaching this morning. I was coming into church real early today and was listening to a preacher from South Carolina. I don't really know what his name is or what church he's from, but he did mention several times he was from South Carolina. And so we heard him preaching this morning, and he was preaching on the passage of be still and know that I am God. And he was trying to relate that to what we're dealing with today in the times that we're in, being still and knowing that I'm God. And this is a good time to be able to do that when we're going through this time. But I'm thankful that he leads us along through whatever we're going through, whatever trials, whatever tribulations. I'm glad he leads us along. So we're thankful for that. Appreciate it, Brother Bowen. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. The book of Luke, chapter number 2. God laid this message on my heart a few weeks ago as I was laying there in the hospital and began to think about this text and this message. And so it's been a couple weeks here of pondering and thinking about it and trying to study it. And I just got a few things this morning. It won't be too long. I know we do have some storms rolling in today, but guess what? I know the Creator, and He is the one that can calm the storms, and He's the one that can help through the storms. And so we'll be okay for just a few minutes, Lord willing. The broadcast will stay going, but we do have some storms coming in, so y'all be careful with that. And so, all right, Luke chapter number 2, and let's look here in verse number 39. All right, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 39. All right, if you got your place, if you would, say amen. Amen. All right, amen. We got the amen from some folks here. Hopefully we got it at home. Now, Luke chapter number 2, most of the time when you hear messages out of Luke chapter number 2, a lot of times we're dealing with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that He came and was born of a virgin. I know and I believe He was born of a virgin. And He came to die. And so we're going to pick up the story here in Luke chapter 2 in verse number 39. And we're going to read down through the end of the chapter. So you read along with me and we'll give you the message God laid on our heart. All right, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. If you know anything about the time frame, that is what's going on right now, I believe, in Israel. The Passover time, they're about to finish it up, and it's this time of the year. Last year we went to Israel, and it was during the Passover time. And it was right towards the end of it in Sabbath. We showed up on a Sabbath day. And so there in verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. That sounds familiar, amen. There's been some ladies in the Bible that did that, and Mary being one of them earlier on. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so we find here the story of Jesus and Mary and Joseph going to Jerusalem, just as they did every year for the Feast of the Passover. And as they went and went with a group and a crowd of people with family, they went with friends. The Bible says here, kinsfolk and acquaintances. You know, that's exactly what we do when we come to church. We come with a family. Some people come with family. I know our church has a lot of my family in it, and I'm very thankful for that. And we got some kinsfolk, and we have acquaintances, and we come and gather together, and that's what they did. Every year they went to Jerusalem to do this. And we find some things here in this passage. And as a way of introduction, I just want to point this out. I'm not going to preach on this subject, but I just want to hit it in passing, that we find some things about the pre-teenage Christ. There's not a lot about the young Christ mentioned in the Bible. We don't find a lot about it. But we do find a few things here in our text about the pre-teen Christ. He was 12 years old when they came to do this. And so they consider that, I think, to be pre-teen or just about to be a teenager. And so there's some things we find here that I believe, and this is just a way that this is a whole separate message. I'm just going to hit it in passing. There's some things that I believe we find here about the young Christ that ought to be applied to young people today. And I hear sometimes young people say, and we preach at youth camps and things, and they make the statement that when I get older, I can serve God. And when I get older, I can do some of these things. Well, Jesus Christ is our example at every age. And we find here some things that He did as a preteen, as a 12-year-old. My daughter's 10. She's a few years from that. And we have some others in our church around that age. And that's about the age they start going to youth camp. And there's some things at that young of an age that Jesus Christ, some attributes, some characteristics about Him that I believe should be instilled in young people today. And we have the example of Jesus Christ. Let me just give them to you quickly, and I'm going to move on. This is another message that I preach sometimes. I got the notes from a good book. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a preteen, as a 12-year-old, He increased in knowledge. He increased in knowledge. And I believe that young people today ought to be increasing in knowledge. They ought to get their head and their mind and their hands out of the phones and out of video games and read something and read the Bible and study and increase in knowledge. At that age, you ought to be able to start knowing some things. You ought to be able to start learning some things. As a young lady that is 12 years old, you ought to start learning how to cook some and how to do some things around the house. And you ought to be able to grow in knowledge as a young man around that age. You ought to be able to start helping Dad do some things. And I believe it was around that age I started cutting grass and start growing in knowledge and get off the video games and get out of the computer and go learn something. He began to increase in wisdom as a 12-year-old. That's in verse number 52. Not only that, in verse number 52, He began to increase in maturity. Again, that's right around the age that you would like to see a young lady or a young man start maturing just a little bit. But you know what the problem is, and I've got to not stay here long, but the problem is the parents aren't mature. The problem is the mom and dad is not very mature. They're not disciplined enough, and therefore the kids are not going to be. He began to increase in maturity. That's there in verse number 52 as well. He increased in the favor of God. Man, what about that? What about that, young person? Increasing in the favor of God. What a thing to be said, Ella, that you're increasing in the favor of God. That's in verse 52 as well. Not only that, but He increased in the favor of man. How would you like to hear someone say, you're a good young lady? Or you're a good young man? You know what that is? That's increasing in the favor of man. How many times do we see 12-year-olds and teenagers today that whenever you talk to them and they leave your presence, they don't speak up, they don't look you in the eye, they can't give you a strong handshake, which you're not allowed to do that right now, but when you are allowed to do it, they won't give you a strong handshake, and they won't speak up, and they're disrespectful, and they talk back, and they mumble, and they won't look up, and they walk away from you. And you say, man, that's a shame right there for a young person. Amen? Jesus has said that He increased in with favor as a 12-year-old, Elijah. Amen. I only got a couple people in here. I got to mention them. As a 12-year-old, he increased in his favor with God, and he increased in his favor with man as a 12-year-old. Amen. You can do it. Back years and years ago, people today wouldn't understand it. I don't fully understand it because I didn't live it. But I would imagine that when my grandparents maybe were younger, that at 12-year-old, that might be their last time going to school and they went to work. I mean, how many of you have heard stories about people that young men and young women that they would just go through a certain grade and they were done, and that 12, 13, 14 years old, they would go get a job and go to work. I couldn't imagine it today if we had to have that age go work. They would not know what to do. And again, this isn't the message. This is for free. Amen. Not only did he increase in wisdom and maturity and favor with God and favor with man, that's all in verse 52. But in verse 51, he remained as a 12-year-old in subjection to his parents. He remained in submission to his parents. Amen? Now, you say, well, he was left back at the temple and his parents left. His parents left him at the temple. That's what I'm about to preach in a minute. That wasn't his fault. He was a 12-year-old that was teaching doctors and lawyers. Amen? He was about his father's business. And they left and didn't even realize that they left him. That wasn't on him. Amen? God gave him to Mary and Joseph to help raise the Son of God. What a responsibility. Amen? I've heard it said before that a mother has one of the greatest responsibilities in the world. To raise children for God. You could be raising the very next pastor of White Oak Independent Baptist Church. You could be raising one of the next Sunday school teachers of the church. You could be raising a missionary that could go to a foreign field and lead people to God. And you look at your children and say, no, not them. You know what you need to do? Go look in the mirror and say, no, not you. Why would God use my children? Why would God do something with my children? Because of the way that I'm raising them. Amen? And last of all, about this young child, this young 12-year-old Christ, he learned a wage-earning skill at a young age. Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3, he learned the trade of his earthly father in carpentry. Amen? And that was all as a young man. And so we see things. And man, I tell you what, there are a few young people that I've ran across. And maybe some in here have or some listening. There's a few young people that I ran across at a young age. So man, they got a good head on their shoulder and they're very respectful and they're hard workers. And man, thank God for it. There's been just a very few. Last year at youth camp, I went and preached at a youth camp last year. And I taught an entire lesson on etiquette. How to be a gentleman. And not one of those, maybe one, the man running the camp, Brother Tony Wood, his son knew how to do these things. He was taught to do these things. But I taught those young men for an hour and it blew their mind. It's like they never heard this before. I taught them how to look somebody in the eye when they're talking to them. I taught them how to speak up and not mumble when they're introducing themselves. I taught them how to give a strong handshake, how to hold a door open for a lady. And you know what? The rest of that week, I saw some of those young men trying to practice those things. Amen? But it's very rare to find a young person today that exhibits these attributes that we see in Christ as a young man or woman. You know what? Most of the time, these things that Christ learned at 12 years old, most adults never even learn how to do these things. Amen. That's the generation we're living in today. That's not my message. All right, so we find the young teenage Christ here in our text. But not only that, but here's what I want to preach about. We find Jesus Christ left at church. We find the Lord Jesus Christ left at church. And that's what I want to preach today for a few minutes on the day Jesus was left at church. The day Jesus was left at church. Look with me again at verse number 43. And when they had fulfilled days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They didn't even realize that Jesus had been left at church. And you know what? As we go through this time of having to minister to you, church family, and I love my church. I love our church. I love those that have left our church. It breaks my heart every time somebody chooses to go another direction. It breaks my heart. And I love them and I still pray for them. I can't help but pray for them. When I pray for our church in my mind, I go around the church and I know where people sit. And I pray for the Bowens and then I go around the room and I pray for the Rylands. That's where they sat. And I go around and pray for the Richies. That's where they sat. And I go and I pray for the Heiches. And I walk all the way. I pray for Miss Ashley. That's where she sat. And I walk all the way around the room and I pray for all the people that have been in our church, and I pray for Cassie and Tony, and I pray for all those that have left, and I walk around. I can't help but do that in my mind because I know right where they sat. And in my mind, as I'm praying, when I get to the next pew, sometimes I'll tell myself, well, they're not there no more, just skip over it. And the Holy Spirit of God smites my heart, and I pray for them. And it breaks my heart. But I pray for them as I go around the room. And I know that in this strange time that we're living in, in this strange time where we're having to come to you live through the internet, I said earlier in my prayer that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. That's what the Bible says. But I'm thankful that God is ahead of him. Amen. God's above him. And so we pray that God would help us as we try to minister to our church and as we try to do it this way through a camera and through the few folks that are sitting here. But it breaks my heart and I'm scared to think that maybe some people from our church, as they are at their homes or as they go about their day, that whenever the church shut down and you were no longer allowed to come here, Jesus was left at church. There's people all around the world today that are in their homes and they're no longer coming to a church building. And it's sad to think that maybe Jesus was left at church. One of the sad things about this passage of Scripture and thinking about Jesus being left at church is the fact that they didn't even realize He was gone. How can you go about your day, and we think about as a father and a mother of children of our own, that if we were to go somewhere and it was a long journey and we were to leave with the crowd, the whole crowd left. Our whole church had to leave at one time and go home to have church. And as we left to go home, that we didn't even realize that we left Elijah sitting at church. I've been left at church before. Amen. I don't know, Brother Steve Brogdon, amen. Or Kenny Brogdon, I don't remember which one was Brother Kenny Brogdon, I believe. I don't remember which one it was there, who's a deacon of the church. And, one day, he kept trying to call my mom and dad. They got home, picked up the phone, said, "Hey, your son's still at church." They had drove two separate vehicles and one thought that I was with the other one. And they both get home. They said, "Where's Andrew? Where's Andy?" And they didn't know where he was. And they finally got a hold and said, "Hey, I have your son. I'm taking him home with me. We'll bring him back to church tonight." I was left at church. As a young man, I was probably 12 years old. Amen. What an example. Didn't even realize it. Amen. Just as maybe my mom and dad went all the way home and both of them thought it was okay. Why? Because they thought he was with some kinfolk. I can just imagine as they left, they didn't see Jesus. They didn't even know he was missing. But they thought it's okay because one of the families got him. They thought maybe it's okay because one of the acquaintances has him. Do you know what's sad to think this morning, church? Is that there's some people that might be watching this. Maybe they're not even watching it. I don't know. But it's sad to think that they might be sitting at their home going about their day and they don't even realize that Jesus isn't in their life. They don't even realize that He's not in what they're doing. He's not involved. Maybe they're saved, and I pray they are. But He's not involved in anything they're doing because He's not around. And in their mind, they think, well, I'm a part of White Oak. Or I'm a part of whatever church you are you might be watching. And say, hey, at least somebody has Jesus. Maybe Brother Andrew has Him, so I'll be okay. Maybe one of my family members has Him, so I'll be okay. My husband, I believe he has Him. I believe that he's talking to God every day. And I believe he's praying every day. And some of the things we're about to go over. And so I'll be okay because maybe they have Jesus. They didn't even realize He was gone. Not only kinfolk, but they said acquaintances. You say, who's that? That's church family. Hey, you're just going about your day and you're going about your business. And you said, maybe Brother Heitch has Jesus. Maybe he's praying, so I'm okay. Amen? Maybe Brother Bowen has them. Maybe it's Brother Hunter. Maybe it's one of the ladies. Maybe one of the ladies has them. They didn't even realize he was missing. Do you realize that they were gone for 4 whole days before they got back to Jesus? Look with me in verse number 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company. Again, they thought, somebody's got him. Went a day's journey. They went a whole day's journey traveling back home thinking somebody has Jesus. You know what's bad, church? Nobody in that group had him. Nobody had him. Mama didn't have him. Daddy didn't have him. Auntie didn't have him. Uncle didn't have him. The friends didn't have him. Nobody in this group had Jesus. But they all thought that somebody did. I hope y'all are following me. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. Look at verse number 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, 3 days after they had already went a day, they finally made it back to the temple where Jesus was. That's sad. 4 days without your child. Hey, church, you cannot afford to go 1 day or a half a day without God on your side. You can't afford to do that. Hey, I not only pastor a church and I have a job that I try to do right with and try to help support my family, and I've got a wife and 3 children, and I need God. I can't afford to go a half a day. But you know what's sad, Brother Bowen? Some days we go without Him. And while we do, we're thinking somebody else has Him. You said, Brother Andrew, you're the pastor. I'm still a man and human. Just like Paul said, he said, I need to die daily and I'm tired of this old stinking flesh. I'm telling you, there's some days where maybe you don't feel like it. You don't feel spiritual. And you say, man, I just don't feel like I've got Jesus today. And I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Go watch Sunday school. You can't do that. Amen. I'm just talking about a relationship with God. I'm talking about a daily walk with Him. And just like Brother Bowen saying that He walks with us and He talks with us. And there might be days go by, and there might be 4 days go by, just like they did before they got back to Him. But you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid there's some children of God, there's some men and women that have gone years without Jesus. They might be saved, but they've gone years without a walk with Him, without fellowshipping with Him. And the whole time they're doing it, they're thinking somebody else has them. I'm going to give you just these few things. Amen. I hope this is a blessing to somebody. Amen. When Jesus is left at church. You know what happens when Jesus is left at church? Prayers will get left at church. Prayers will get left at church. Look with me in verse number 46. The Bible says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both What does the Bible say? Hearing them. Do you know what he was doing? He was listening to their questions. You could say that maybe they were asking him things. They were praying to him. Now, I'm not going to get into it right now, but do you know what praying is? Praying is asking. Praying is a request. Back in the olden days, when they used to go to court, that they would say, I pray the court. Right? You know what they're saying? I'm going to ask the court something. I am requesting something. It's a request. I pray the court. Or some of y'all have heard it say, pray tell me. I request that you please tell me. Amen. That's what praying is. Praying is requesting. And they're asking him questions. And so the Bible said that Jesus is hearing them. And you know what happens when you leave Jesus at church? Prayers will get left at church. You'll go and go and go and your prayer life will dwindle and you'll stop praying for your missionaries. You'll stop praying for the other family. You'll stop praying for church family. You'll stop praying and slowly but surely you'll leave prayer back at church. We pray on Wednesday nights here at our church. We have prayer requests, take up our missionaries. We pray on Sunday mornings. We didn't do it this morning, Brother Bowen. It's your fault. Help us next week. Amen. It's not his fault. We usually pray on Sunday mornings. We're so worried about getting all this set up to try to be a blessing to you. I prayed before and I prayed in my office, but we usually have men's prayer. We didn't do that this morning. We need to get back to doing that. But we do those times. We have times of prayer. But it would be sad to think that the only time that you went to prayer for your other church family and for your family and for the missionaries was when we're at church. The prayer requests that we give out, those requests are given for our church family to not just pray at church, and we do that, but to take it home and to pray one for another. To pray for our missionaries. And I'm afraid that Jesus being left at church, there's some prayers that are not going up. I tell you what, we have a time better than ever right now to pray. Amen? We ought to pray. Not only will prayers get left, but if you leave Jesus at church, His words will get left. Look with me there in verse number 46 again. There at the end it said, both hearing them and asking them questions. That is Jesus. That is the Son of God speaking. He's asking them questions. Verse number 47, and all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. Do you realize, church, this morning that we are holding the answer? We are holding the very words of God. How the Bible says that He became flesh and dwelt among us and the Word became flesh. We're holding the answers. We're holding the very words of God. And you know what's sad? There's some people that got left at church. Brother Bowen, the last time they read their Bible was when they were sitting in church and were asked to turn to the pages. The last time they did a Bible study was on a Wednesday night or a Sunday school hour when they opened their Bible and began to pray and look over the things. And it's been weeks since they've been to church. There's people watching right now. I don't know this for 100% fact, but it's probably going to be accurate. There's people watching right now during preaching that have not opened up their Bible even now to have service. If you were here, you would open your Bible because we're watching you, but you're there in the privacy of your home and you have not even cracked open your Bible. What happened? You left Jesus at church. You're going through the motions with the rest of the world. And Jesus has been left at church. It was sad because Mary and Joseph didn't even realize it. Amen? You know what's sad? Some of you, and God gave me this message for somebody. I don't know who it was, but He gave it to me. But there's some that you don't even realize it. You don't realize it's been 4 days since you read your Bible. You don't realize it's been 4 days since you prayed. You don't realize it. You don't realize it's been that long. Time has just gone by and you don't even realize it. That Jesus has been left at church. Not only will prayer get left and His words will get left, but third of all, His wonder will be left. What do you mean by that, Brother Andrew? What do you mean by His wonder? Look at verse number 47. And all that heard Him were astonished. They were astonished. Look at verse 48. And when they saw Him, they were what? They were amazed. When you leave Jesus at church, you'll miss out on His wonder. Amen? Hey, let me say this. God is good. Hey, God is good, and the blessings that He gives us and all the things He does for us. And when you walk with Him and you talk with Him and you read your Bible and you pray and you try to have a heart that's after Him and you try to do right, God just does miraculous things that nobody can understand. And I tell you what, when you're walking with God, you can see those things. When is the last time that God did something in your life where you just stood back and said, what a God. Where you stood back in amazement. You stood back in astonishment. And just said, wow. There might be some people watching right now that you're thinking back and saying, man, I don't remember the last time that happened. I'm going to tell you right now, thank God, it's not me, it's all Him. But me and some of the people that I hang around, I like to hang around people that love God. You say, are they perfect? No. That's why they let me hang out with them. None of us are. Amen? We're not perfect, but I tell you what, it seems like there's stuff happening all the time where you're just like, man, God did that. I see it everywhere. I see it in my home. I see it all around us. I see the things and say, wow, what a God. The amazement, the wonder. But there's some Christians that you haven't seen that in a long time. Why? Jesus got left at church. Somebody else has them. There's three illustrations I have that happened in the last month. One of them in the last month. These other two happened this week. Amen? One of them, my dad, I told him I was going to use this. Last Sunday, the storms were really bad in Alabama. I think there was 24 confirmed tornadoes. When it started off early in the day, I called my mom and dad. I called everybody in the church that I could get a hold of. Some of you wouldn't answer your phone. But I tried to call everybody and say, are you okay? It's coming this way. It's going that way. Is it going to be okay? Well, I called my dad. He goes, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near us. Okay. A little bit later, I called him and said, Dad, it's coming down your street, man. He goes, I know. I see that. It's coming right this way. I said, what are you going to do? He goes, there's a storm shelter at the neighbor's house and they don't live there anymore. Nobody lives there. There's a storm shelter. We're going to go check it out. He goes over to the storm shelter and it is my grandmother, my mom, my dad, and their dog. Okay? He goes over there and there's four chairs in the storm cellar. The storm cellar's cleaned out and there's candles burning. Candles. Like, not gas, like wax and candles burn. And there are candles burning in there. There's four chairs. And Dad walks in there. He went over there early to see because this place has been empty. And he didn't know what condition the storm cellar would be in. And it's cleaned out. There's four chairs and there's candles burning. He said, well, okay. Went back, got mom, grandma, got the dog, went in there. They had a chair for each one of them. They sat down, went through the whole storm. Nobody ever showed up. Amen. You say, that's coincidence. I don't. What a God, man. I said, Dad, did anybody ever show up? He said, no. I said, did you blow the candles out? He said, no, I didn't light them. He said, it's a concrete storm shelter. You know, it's not going to hurt anything. Yeah, to this day, we don't know why those candles were. Yes, we do. Yeah, wow, what a God. Brother Ellis went on this trip with us to Papua New Guinea. And it was a very costly trip. And we got down to where the bill needed to be paid within just a few days. Amen. Just in a few days, there's some people here that already know some of this. Brother Ellis calls me on a Sunday morning before church, real early. I try to talk to him every Sunday. And before church, real early in the morning, we're talking back and forth. Brother Andrew, I do not know how. But God gave me peace this morning that we're going to get this bill taken care of before Wednesday. It had to be paid by Wednesday or there was going to be interest and all kind of stuff. So I don't know how it's going to get passed, brother. That's fine. I trust you. I trust God. If it don't get paid, God will work it out anyway. Well, it'll all get worked out. It's all right. And Brother Ellis said, yeah, I know God. He always takes care of it. I don't know how he's going to do it this time, but he always does. I hang up the phone. As soon as I hang up the phone, I get a text message. How much does Brother Ellis owe on his bill? Was this man listening to our conversation or what? I replied back. Immediately, the money showed up on my phone. I called back Brother Ellis. Brother Ellis, the bill's just been paid. He said, what? I said, I'm telling you, the money just showed up. Amen. The man didn't want him to know who it was. He said, just tell him, you know, praise be to God. You say, what is that? Wow, what a God. Brother Ellis tells a lot of stories, and I'm telling you, I lived through some of them. They're true. You know what that is? That's somebody that walks with God and sees the wonder of God. Some of you have never seen God do anything like that in your life. Amen? Man, walk with Him. Talk with Him. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. I've gotten calls from some of my family, some of our church folks, crying. Why are you crying? Somebody died. No, God's just been good. God's been good. We went up on our missions and didn't know how we were going to do it. And I even cut back some of my hours and I got a raise to cover both. You say, what's that? Wow, what a God. Do you see that wonder in your life? Or has it been a while? Maybe Jesus was left at church. The last illustration I had was my sister-in-law, Beth. Needed some grocery money. She's been trying to work and do things and trying to manage all this stuff. And out of nowhere, a part-time job she got to cover while Chick-fil-A cut her hours gives her a card. And it's a gift card for her to buy groceries. You say, what is that? Wow. Thank you, Lord. What a God. These things happen, amen. I got illustrations in our life of what God's done for us. And I'm so thankful. But I'm telling you, it's because He's so good. It's not because of who we are. But I know from where my help comes. And I want to stay close to Him. And I'm thankful He's a forgiving God, aren't you? Not only when Jesus is left at church will prayers get left. His words will get left. His wonder will get left. But last of all, His will for you will get left. Do you realize God has a will for you? The Bible says there, look at verse number 49. Y'all stay with me, I'm almost finished. Verse number 49, He said unto them, to His parents, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You know, when Jesus gets left at church, God's will for your life will get left at church. God has a plan for everyone. Now I realize that He's got a perfect will and He's got these things that maybe before you were born, the book of Jeremiah says that when He was in His mother's womb, God had called Him to preach and to be a prophet. I mean, before He was born. And I believe personally that God has a will and a plan for every person that's born. You must get saved and you must be born again. And then you get in your Bible and God will reveal His will for your life. But there's people today, even when they come to church, they're going through the motions of just coming to church and going home. And now God's will for you might be to come here, work hard and give and support missions. That might be His will, but I believe there's some in our church that God has more for you to do. He wants you to help out with children's church. He wants you to help teach Sunday school classes. He wants you to go out soul winning. He wants you to come help with different ministries of the church. He wants you to teach something, but you're not doing it. And you don't even realize that you're not doing His will. Why? Because Jesus got left at church. How many Christians today are going through the motions? Showing up and going home. They're not having family devotions. They're not seeking the will of God in their house. They're not praying like they ought to. They're not reading their Bible like they ought to. And they don't have a clue what God wants them to do, and they live their entire life that way. And then we don't ever read about great stories of what they've done for God. Why? They haven't done anything for Him. And they didn't even know it. They will one day when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll realize that day what they didn't do for Him. So, Brother Andrew, what do I do? God spoke to my heart during this message. What do I do? Well, what did they do when they realized that they left Jesus at church? What did they do? The first thing they did is realize that He was missing. The first thing they did is realize, hey, Jesus isn't with us. He's not with the acquaintances. He's not with the relatives. What do I need to do? And one thing I noticed that they did also, they did not send somebody else to go get Jesus. They went themselves, they went personally and said, I have to go get Jesus back. I'm not sending nobody else. I'm going to go get Him. You have to realize that He's missing. That's verse number 44 and 45. Not only do you have to realize He's missing, but you need to go back to where you left Him. You know, for some people that might watch this or watching it right now, you know what that means? That means going back to church where God wants you to be. That means finding a place where you can serve God with your family, where God wants you to be. That's where you left Him. For some people, where you left Jesus was a time in your life where you got offended and you got hurt. And you left Jesus and walked away. You say, what do I got to do? You got to go back to that place. I'm not necessarily talking about physically. If you need to come back to this church or come back to church where God wants you to be, you need to go back to church. Amen. But I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally. Sometimes there's some things you need to go back to and get that thing right and get Jesus back in your life. Not getting saved again. I'm not preaching salvation this morning. Go back to where you left Him. Look at verse number 48. They realized He was missing. They went back to where they left Him. And look at this last thing. This is a picture of repentance. A picture of a broken heart. Verse number 48, when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast Thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I, watch it church, I have sought thee sorrowing. Are we willing to come to God with some tears? So I don't cry. Are you willing to come to Him with a broken heart and crying on the inside? Those that are unwilling to cry, God has a way of breaking your heart. He has a way of getting those tears. But she sought Jesus sorrowing. You say, what do I do, Brother Andrew? Have you left Jesus at church? You say, well, no, I've been reading my Bible. Well, what about some of these other things? Amen? What about some of these other things? What do I do? Realize there's some things missing. Go back to where you left Him. And come to Him, seek Him, sorrowing. I told a lady one time, she heard me preach to young people. And I made this statement in preaching. I said, God has given me a burden for this generation, the young people, my age. God, this was years ago, and I still have that same burden because I see people my age that are not living right, they're not doing right, they're not in the will of God, they're not serving Him, and it breaks my heart. And so years ago I said, I'm burdened. This is when Sarah and I first got married. I'm burdened. God's giving me a burden for these people. For young people, for people my age, for kids. And I said, I'm very sorrowful about the condition they're in. And one of the people that I worked with, a lady, she listened to that message. And she said that she came, and I don't know if she was rebuking me or what. She was an older lady. I mean, she was I'm not going to say the age because there might be somebody in our church that age, and I'm not calling you old. She was an older lady, and I was only 20 years old, so I respectfully listened to her. But she said, you should never, ever, ever say that doing something serving God is a burden. And you should never be sorrowful about it. And I understood what she was saying. But you know what? I'm not carrying that burden alone. Jesus said, for me to cast my cares upon Him, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. So God touches my heart and gives me that burden, but He's the one that helps carry me through it. Amen? But this thing of sorrow, it is very rare. I do remember when Brother Bud Ring and his wife were at our church was the last time I saw people crying on the altar at our church. And you know what that was? We were crying and rejoicing, thanking God for saving us and what He's done. We were remembering what He's done for us. But I don't remember, except for the exception of a couple people that might have got saved a few years ago, I don't remember the last time that tears were shed because somebody was seeking Christ in sorrow over their life or over things in their life. And I would encourage you, church, as we go through this time, and Lord willing, we'll be back to church here very soon. But I want to encourage you to seek Him. Do not leave Him at this church. Do you realize, and I understand most of you do, this building is not White Oak Independent Baptist. It is the physical location where we meet, but we are the church. We are the church, and we can take Jesus home with us. And He can be a part of your life every day. So I encourage you, church, as we continue to go through the next few weeks, and as we've gone through the past few weeks, please make it a priority to have Jesus with you everywhere you go. You know one reason people don't want to do that? Because they don't want Jesus knowing what they're looking at on their phone or what they're doing. But I'm going to tell you, He knows anyway. He knows it anyway. Just get right with Him. Amen. The day Jesus was left at church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for loving us. God, I thank You for forgiveness and mercy and grace.